You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Well, I want to start by just sharing a story, and I have shared this story before, so if you've heard this before, I don't care. It's a really good story. More importantly, it's one of the stories of my life. It's one of the defining moments of my life. And can I give that to someone? I'm going to keep banging that until it falls off. It's one of the defining stories of my life, and that matters, right? You know, we all have defining moments in our lives where God teaches us a lesson so deep and profound, we're meant to carry that through the rest of our lives. Does that make sense? I hope you know what some of the defining moments are in your life. Some of those defining stories that you teach your kids and you teach your grandkids and that kind of stuff. This is one of mine. And so I'd been through university. I must have been 23, 22, something like that. I was newly saved. I'd gone back to Dunedin, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was just kind of looking for a job. And so I picked up some builder's laboring jobs and a bunch of other jobs. And I did all those. And then one by one, they all ran out. And now I'm out of work. And I'm flatting with a bunch of my friends that I care deeply about, and I am rapidly running out of money. So I did what we all do. We tickled up my CV, and I literally walked the main street of Dunedin and gave CVs into every single place that was a business, and just believing that something was going to happen. And the result of that was nothing. Weeks went by. I didn't even get a rejection letter. Like, that's real rejection. When they can't even be bothered sending you a rejection letter. You know what I mean? And now I'm getting desperate. Like, I can't pay my rent. I can't pay the grocery bill with the boys. And I survived another couple of weeks. Miraculously, an envelope appeared in my letterbox with just enough money to pay for my outstanding rent and the bills that I had to pay. But, you know, it was getting pretty tough. And it's funny, hey, when you've got a job, You forget what it's like to not have a job. And I want to say to you, if you're in this room today and you don't have a job and you're trying to get one, it's tough, I feel you. I mean, I was at a point where I was seriously considering leaving the flat and going and sleeping under a bridge because it sounds quite dramatic, but at the time it was just like, I cannot bludge off my flatmates. I cannot be dependent upon other people. If I have to just go somewhere else until something happens, then that's what I'll do. So there was this one afternoon, I'm in my flat, and I'm praying, because I didn't have a job to go to, and so I'm just, you know, God, you got to give me a job, got to give me a job, the whole thing. And in the midst of my kind of praying and talking to God, I just sensed somewhere in here God saying, you haven't thanked me. And my immediate, verbal, out loud response was, thanked you for what? Right? And then just like that, straight back. You haven't thanked me that I'm still in control. You haven't thanked me that I'm still on the throne. You haven't thanked me that I'm still at work in your life. You haven't thanked me that I've got this, even though you don't see that. You haven't thanked me. You haven't praised me. And it was just like conviction hit me like a ton of bricks. And I literally got down on my knees and put my arms out. And I just started saying, oh, God, I'm so sorry. God, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord. I just thank you that you're still on the throne, God. And even though this looks pretty rough, God, I know that you're working on my behalf. Like it says in Romans, God, I just thank you and I praise you. And as I'm saying this stuff, the phone started ringing. This is back in the days when phones were attached to walls. Some of you can go to museums and see those. And so I literally said to God, I said, God, I'm coming right back to finish this conversation, but I just need to go and get the phone. So I got up, went to the phone, picked up the phone, and it was someone offering me a job. And it was a job that I had for 5 years come on, give the Lord some praise. It was a job that I had for 5 years, became assistant manager until I stepped out of that and into the internship, which then prepared me for pastoral ministry. It was honestly a miracle. It was a life-defining moment for me. And I want to talk today about the power of praising and thanking God. It's something that's just kind of part of what we do or are meant to do. But I think very often we do it because everyone around us is or because we're meant to, and we're not really sure why or what it's all about. But I tell you what, power of praise and thanksgiving, that's the open door to miracle territory. And when I talk miracle territory, I'm not talking about any special thing. We live with a God who is supernatural and does amazing things. Like even Bex is sharing those testimonies this morning. You know, it's easy to go, oh, that's nice, oh, cool. You know what? For anyone who's lived in the world for any length of time, no one out there at the pub is telling those stories. No one at the water cooler is telling those kind of stories. Like these kind of things. Now, this is unique to the Christian community because we have a miracle working God who's got you and he's got your back and he is with you and for you, whether you see it or not, whether you recognize it or not, God is at work, and that's the place we've got to learn to live in. Amen? And I know that it can be tough, right? Like what does it mean to live by faith? Like, is that just that rock solid, unchanging optimistic, yes, God's got me? Or is it the, oh my gosh, I'm barely holding on here and I don't know where you are, God. Like, which one of those is faith? Both. Like, read the Bible, like, both. The Bible is full of people who are immovable and also full of people who are wavering, but God tells us a bruised reed he does not break. He's one who takes anyone who will just lift their head in faith and go, oh God, maybe me too. Would you look after me? And that's what I love about God. Here's one of the things that praise does. Praise gets your focus off you. We forget how big of a problem that is. You know, anxiety is primarily future focused. Primarily. Depression is primarily past focused. Praise is entirely God-focused. And like we forget, right, the magic of coming to church. You come in here and what's the first thing that happens? It doesn't matter how bad your week has been, how bad your driving has been, how bad things are going in your world or your marriage or your kids or your job or your study or your health. It doesn't matter any of those things. You come in here and what happens? Like Adele and the team up here going, get to your feet. And we're going to start singing. What do we do? We start singing songs that declare the goodness of an incredibly great God who loves us and is for us. And we sing those over and over again. We're speaking out these things. We're praising and thanking him. And that is faith. And that builds faith. How do we live by faith? We start by praising God. Like that's the first action you can do to step into a life of faith. Thank him. Praise him. Whether you see it or not. You know, within the field of psychology, it's a very, very well-known fact that our perception of the world is entirely framed by what we are aiming for. Our perception of the world, how we judge things, how we see opportunities or threats or friends or foes or whatever's going on is entirely framed by what we are aiming for. It's just a well-known psychological fact within the realm of perception psychology. And then God says, a person without vision will perish. Why? Because they don't have anything to judge anything by. They're not going for anything. Is this a friend? Is this a foe? Is this an opportunity? I don't know. Is this a threat? I don't know. And this is one of the most powerful truths about praise. Praise gets you aiming for God. So we've got to learn to aim for God. Aim high. Go for him. Have him in your sights no matter what is going on in your world. Praise him for who he is. Thank him for what he has done. When you are down, sad, anxious, depressed, praise him. Honestly, I tell you, I work in counseling as well as in pastoral work, and almost every situation that I deal with is somebody who more often than not has ended up stuck on what's going on in them, in their future, or in their past, which I understand. I've been there myself. And part of the process of healing along the way is to be able to shift our eyes back to God because we're called to live by faith. Like that's not an accident. Like live by faith, not just do church by faith, not just do small group by faith. Live by faith. Dale, I just need to quickly say to you too, just when I was standing in worship, I really felt God to say just how much he loves you. Like he just wants you to know, like he really loves you. Like he adores you. Like out of all the people in this room whom he loves, he really loves you. Just take that. That's awesome. And also, just quickly, somebody online this morning, just really felt this one in our worship. I just felt someone online. You're dealing with something, you can't work out the way forward. You need to forgive somebody. You need to release them from your judgment. You need to hand them over to God. You need to breathe out and let it go. And you need to move on. And whoever that is, please write me an email and let me know that it was you. Let's dive into the Bible for a moment. Because throughout the scriptures, we see the importance of praise to God's people that was built into the very fabric of who they are, what they did, not just in daily life, not even just in religious life, even in military life. This is a great story in 2 Chronicles. Judah's going out to war. They're in real trouble. They're fighting against multiple kings simultaneously. Let me read this to you from 2 Chronicles 20, verses 20 to 22. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. How's that for a military strategy? We're going to get the worship team out in front. You guys go and sing and praise God. There's something going on there, right? There's something beyond the natural that goes on. And I tell you, when you shift your eyes and you start praising and thanking God, you start activating something that goes beyond the natural. Praise does things that ability, experience, and education cannot. Praise, standing in faith, thanking him, does things that all your ability, all your experience, and all your education cannot. Because there's a spiritual thing that's going on. In the unseen, God and his angels, God responds to faith. Faith pleases God. Listen to the Psalm 8, verses 1 and 2. "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens." All true. "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger." How? Through the praise of kids. Man, how important is kids' work? As children's churches, Power Zone, as Sparks. How important is it to teach our kids to thank God for things, to pray for things, to praise God, to know how good God is. Israel was taught to praise God in the good and in the bad. Ezra chapter 3, foundation of the temple has been laid. And it says, "With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord. He is good and his love toward Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And Israel is taught to praise God in the bad. 1 Kings 8, 33 and 34. "When your people, Israel, have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they turn back to you and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land you gave to their ancestors." See, they had to praise first, had to praise in captivity, had to praise in the place of defeat, had to praise in the place of exile, had to praise in the place where they hadn't seen God move. This is really important. Praise and thanksgiving is meant to frame your day. Why? God in first place. Aim for God. First Chronicles, "The duty of the Levites was to help Aaron's descendants in the service of the temple of the Lord, to be in charge of the courtyards, the side rooms, the purification of all the sacred things, and the performance of other duties at the house of God." Listen to this. "They were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. And they were to do the same thing in the evening." A day should be framed with praise. Our tragedies and our traumas should also be framed with praise and thanksgiving. What was Job's first response when he was sick, when he had lost everything? His kids had been killed. Everything was gone. What's his first response? Verse 20, and Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. This is before he knew God was going to bless him double. This is before he knew God was going to heal him and do incredible things in him through the community that he was in. Well before all that, but he praised God. Can you praise God before? Can you praise God before the miracle? Can you praise God before the breakthrough? Can you praise God? Because like Beck said this morning, actually, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. We can predict the future of God's faithfulness based on his past faithfulness. We see this thing throughout Scripture. And you know what? It's funny. It's a uniquely Christian thing. And we do it, most of us do it every day. Do you realize this? Every time you have a meal, what do? You give thanks. When do you give thanks? Before or after the meal? Before. That's weird. You have no idea what's going to be served. We had some friends come and stay with us for the weekend last weekend, and I cooked a barbecue. It's a bit dodgy. I don't have a lot of experience with barbecues. I lived in Dunedin for like 25 years. In those 25 years, we did 4 barbecues, and 3 of them we actually had, this is actually true. We actually had to wheel the barbecue off the deck down into the garage because I couldn't get the hot plate hot enough to cook the sausages. So we prayed before we ate what I cooked on the barbecue. Why? Because we believe in for a miracle. But it's interesting, isn't it? Who gives thanks before? Christians do. Now someone's going to say, really, does God have that big of a problem with his ego that he needs to be praised? Oh my gosh, funny, eh? We so miss what's going on. God doesn't need our praise, not for 1.5 seconds. Who needs our praise? We do. We need to praise. We need to speak that out because it aligns us with eternal reality. So quickly, 3 thoughts. The first one is this. Praise opens a door. Praise opens a door where a door is closed. There's something in the supernatural. God moves. God responds to praise. You know, there was this one time when Jesus he's in a really remote place. Thousands of people had followed him. They've done all these, you know, big meetings, and it's been awesome. And then the event management team, aka the disciples, kind of suddenly realized that he was meant to organize the catering, and he totally didn't. What are we going to do, Jesus? What are we going to do? So Jesus, of course, you know, does his thing. But here's the interesting thing. They've got 5 loaves, 2 fish to feed like 5,000 people. And what does Jesus do? Looking up to heaven, it says. Looking up to heaven. Why is he looking up to heaven? Well, you look at who you're speaking to. Looking up to heaven, it says he gave thanks. And then he broke the bread. When did the thanks come? Before the miracle. We've got to learn to give thanks before the miracle. Many years ago, Liz went to the doctor for like a wax buildup in her ears, which, boy, now I say it out loud, that sounds super gross. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, babe. Anyway, in the process of getting her ears cleaned out, they somehow managed to completely perforate her eardrum. Like, they completely ruptured her eardrum. Medical misadventure, I don't know. Over the next, 6 weeks, she saw 3 doctors, all who said, wow, that's a really bad rupture. They put her on medication, which caused the skin in her inner ear to all kind of get eczema-y, and so they put her on a different medication. Anyway, it was a big nightmare. She's completely deaf in one ear. She's in constant pain, itchy and irritated, and she's having a really tough time. And every night, we sit in bed, and before we go to sleep, I lay hands on her, and I say, God, please heal Lizzie, please. And I'm quoting scriptures, and I'm declaring stuff, and I'm doing all that stuff. Every single night and every day, she's in pain and she's struggling and she's exhausted. And we've got an appointment with the surgeon coming up, and it's the pre-op, and then they're going to do a skin graft on her eardrum, which I didn't even know you could do. There you go. And then this one night, we're sitting in bed, and I just started praying, and I just felt God say to me, "Stop asking and start thanking." And I remembered the job. And I went, oh my gosh. I said, babe, I think we need to just stop asking. I think God's heard us. It's time for us to start thinking. So for the rest of that week, every night, God, thank you that Liz's healing is coming. Thank you that you're all over this. Thank you you're going to do this. And every day, no change, no change, no change. You get to the day of the appointment. Liz goes in to see the surgeon, no change. Goes into his consulting room, no change. She sits down on the chair. He goes, well, I better take a look at this. No change. He puts the orthopithecus stick thing in her ear, pulls it back out. Oh, sorry. And as he did, Liz heard this little pop. And he put this sticky thing in her ear, came out, looked again. He says, why are you here? She goes, well, I got a ruptured eardrum, and I've seen this doctor and this doctor and this doctor. And he goes, has another look. He goes, there's no ruptured eardrum here. He says, I can see a tiny little scar that maybe tells me you might have had a problem here as a child, but you've had no issues here. You can go. Completely, instantaneously healed. She stood up, her hearing was back, the pain was gone. God did the miracle, but we had to stop asking and start thanking. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't ask and ask. There are scriptures about petition. There are scriptures about coming in and asking and keeping on asking, knocking and keep on knocking. That's awesome. But the point comes when the problem is that we move into unbelief. We're asking because we don't think he's heard us when the scripture tells us he has. We're asking because we don't think he's doing anything, even though the scripture tells us that he is. And when the point of that comes in the journey, you've got to stop asking and start thanking. Because when you do, when you move into praise and thanksgiving, God opens the door. Second thing is that praise builds faith. Psalm 56, verse 4, God whose word I praise, I trust him and I am not afraid. When we praise, very often we use scripture. God, I thank you, your word says this. Scripture builds faith. How does faith come? By hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from that. It's really important for us to realize it. It shifts our focus off us. It moves our focus onto God, his goodness, his possibilities, his promises. It's just really important for us to realize that if we want to live a life of faith, we've got to move into praise. I was preaching here many years ago now, one Sunday morning, and a family came up to me after the service. I'm not even sure. Maybe the family's here. I don't know. And they stopped me and they thanked me. And I said, oh, well, that's great. What are you thanking me for? And they told me this story. They said 18 months earlier, their son had finished university and could not get a job. He became demoralized and discouraged. He tried again and again and again. And then he heard me share this particular story. He decided to start thanking God, that God was in control, and he was going to keep thanking God until something happened. Within a week, he got contacted and got offered a job. But the story didn't finish there. A year later, the father was made redundant. I mean, boy, tough times. He was made redundant, he couldn't get a job, and after several months began to get depressed, was really struggling. Came to church one Sunday morning as part of an offering message. I referenced that story again. And he suddenly remembered what his son had done. Faith rose in his heart and he went, that's it. I'm going to thank God until something happens. He started thanking God and within 2 weeks, he had a job doing what he loved, being paid more than the job he had had previously. It was absolutely amazing. They couldn't believe it. They wanted to thank me. The reality was they praised and they thanked God and they saw God do a miracle. Praise brought the faith that God responds to, not because God is like a rule-keeping, well, if you don't have faith, it's because faith is relationship. Faith is at its very bottom line. It's a relationship that says, I trust you. Like you and me, I trust you, God. That's what faith is. And without it, we are just living our lives in a place of unbelief, where we're withholding our faith in God. And that is not going to work. The last one is this: praise will lift your spirits. Psalm 92, it is good to praise the Lord, for you make me glad. And gladness is a good thing. Start praising. Start thanking God. What's stuck for you? What have you been asking God for and asking and asking and asking? And if you're honest, it's just now become this rote thing. You're just kind of fire this little arrow out into the ether. You have no idea if anyone's listening or not. Maybe it's time for you to go, okay, God, you heard me. You heard me. I know you heard me. Or I'm going to start thanking. I'm going to start praising and thanking you until something happens. One final testimony. A friend of ours, a good friend of ours, had just gone into business for himself, started a business. And he got this really significant contract as he started, which was brilliant. But the contract was now coming to an end. And he was naturally becoming worried about how is he going to survive beyond this next little bit? How's he going to provide for his family? So he sent through a proposal to this provider for some more business and had heard nothing back. And now it was his last day on the job. After this, no more work, no more salary. And he'd been getting a little bit anxious about this. And he kept trying to trust God. And he'd been praying every day, please, God, bless me. Please bless my family with this business opportunity. Or show me you got something better. This morning of the last day of work, he got up to do his morning workout. And as he did, he flicked on a podcast. And it was just one of those random things. It ended up being this message with that story. He later emailed me this. Mike, your words came alive about your personal and seemingly fruitless search for a job. Stop asking and start thinking. I've got a job for you and it's coming your way. You haven't thanked me that I'm still in control. He writes, I put the dumbbells down and I started thanking God for sorting out my proposal. I thanked him that he'd lined up so many little things to get this far and thanked him that he was going to hear about, that I was going to hear about the final approval at just the right time and that I could trust him. He says, I went off to work. It was one of those weird last day on the job, strange kind of things, clearing out my desk, sorting out my phone plan, giving stuff back, handing off key information to key colleagues. At the end of the day, he said goodbye to the people in the office and went to the final handover meeting to update the director of marketing on the project that they've been working on. The meeting finished. And just before they all got up, he said, the director looked across at me and said, by the way, when's your last day? He said, today, this is my last day. He said, there was a moment of silence, and then the director looked across at the other colleagues in the room and said, hey, we're all good with his proposal, right? One of the key managers said, yeah, man, we've got heaps of work for him. The director then turned to him and said this, well, just get started. Invoice us for whatever work you do. While we sort out the paperwork, we need to make sure your cash flow is secure. He wrote to me, at the end of his email, he said, I rode home on my motorcycle as if on clouds, thanking God all the way. I'd stopped asking and started thanking. By the time I got home, there was an email in my inbox with my first consulting assignment, Miracle Territory. Miracle Territory. Anyone here need a miracle? You got a kid who's miles away from God and you just been begging God to bring him back? Maybe it's time to stop asking and start thinking. Someone here need a job? Woo! Tell you what, something's coming. Maybe it's time to stop asking and start thinking. Someone here's maybe got relational problems or health issues or I don't know what it is. And you've been asking and asking and asking and asking. I don't know. Maybe it's time to stop asking and start thinking. It's time to turn to praise. Amen. I'm going to pray. Lord, we love you. And we praise you. We thank you that your word tells us that in all things you are at work on behalf of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. God, that's us. So we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're on it. Thank you, God, that you're working in ways we don't see or understand. But we praise you. God, and we're going to keep saying thank you until we see the thing that is on its way. We honor you and we thank you. You are a good, good Father. You are a great God, a wonderful provider, a dear friend. And we are grateful. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.